Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us. We recognize you could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. Today on the program, we're talking about marriage miracles. Oh, this is going to be amazing. So if you have a testimony or if you have comments or questions, we definitely look forward to hearing from you at 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany. I love how you said amazing. I don't think I can say it the same, but it is. It's going to be phenomenal. We have some very special guests that we'll introduce in just a minute. Mm-hmm. Again, if you are tuning in here in Philadelphia or in Charlotte or anywhere around the world, for that matter, right, online, uh-huh. We welcome you to our show here, Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your direction, God. I pray that we can open our hearts and our minds as you guide us through your word, Father. I do pray that you give all of us here in the studio wisdom and insight from your Holy Spirit, God, to be able to inspire and be able to help those couples who are struggling to draw closer to you, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich and empower and encourage you towards having a great marriage. Our theme scripture of the day comes from Mark chapter 9. I'm going to start reading a little bit here. Mark chapter 9. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? Sounds like some marriages we might know, right? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit who has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And I think many of us might be familiar with the story. You know that Jesus, of course, went to answer him and be able to heal the son. And in verse 23 of Mark 9, the boy's father said, if you can, it says, it has often thrown him to fire or water to kill him. This is what the man is saying. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. And as Tiffany had mentioned and we've already discussed, we will be talking about marriage miracles. Do you believe that those miracles can still take place today in your marriage, in your relationship, in the relationship of those around you that you love? Maybe some marriages that seem that they're on the brink of ruin. They're struggling right now. You're hanging by a thread. You know, do these miracles still take place? And the answer, of course, is if they can, of course. Jesus says everything is possible for he who believes. So we hope and pray that you decide to believe as you're listening in and tune in this morning. And if for some reason you have doubts, I do want to introduce our very special guest here. We have from the D.C. area, from the District of Columbia, we have Carlos and Cassandra Scott. They are full-time ministers. They help lead a church called the D.C. Regional Metro Church, right? Is it D.C. Regional?
Christian Church.
There you go. The D.C. Regional Christian Church. And the great Carlos is an amazing singer, talented. His wife, Cassandra, is also a full-time professor at Bowie College, right? Bowie University, Bowie State University. See, I got to get all these things right. I'm sorry. I want to make sure. But that's why they're here. So welcome to our program.
Thanks
welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows, Carlos and Cassandra. Scott, we're so grateful to have you here, and we can't wait to hear your amazing testimony that you will share in just a minute. And then also from the Big Apple, New York City, we have Joe and Melissa Fuselier. Joseph is a full-time jazz singer in the New York City area, and, man, that man can sing as well. So I'm surrounded by really talented singers. I do not sing, so God is just encouraging me. And miracles do happen. Maybe after this show, I might sing a little something. No, we won't do that. And then Melissa is a hospital administrator, but they've been married for a long time. And I know you've been together since you were like 12 years old. We joke about that with people, but for them, it's actually true. So I think you're only like 14 or 15 now, right? But absolutely. So let's start with Carlos and Cassandra. Share a little bit about yourself. What you do, and really how long you've been married, for all our listeners to be able to connect with you this morning.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for having us. We actually dated in high school.
Wow.
And dated for 8 years, and then of course we got married. We've been married for 28 years,
mm-hmm.
So we've been together for 36 years, and I'm only 38. So
there you go.
But early on, Cassandra realized that we needed God at the center of our marriage. And I did not see that. I had a form of godliness, but I was denying his power. And so she decided that she was going to go out to Bible study. She was actually working on her master's at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And a young lady invited her out to Bible study. She went out. She was so amazed by God's word. She came home that night, read the whole book of John.
Mm.
And she said to me that, you know, we need God in the center of our marriage. And I said, you know, baby, if that works for you, you know, you do that. But as for me, I'm fine. And so the Bible study was on Monday nights. I figured that out, so I stopped coming home on Monday nights. And this one particular—
Oh, the Bible study was at your home.
It actually wasn't, but she would always ask me to go. And so I stopped coming home. But this one night, Monday night, I forgot it was Bible study night. And so I was home there. No, I didn't think that she was actually home. So I'm home eating my dinner, and she walks in, and I'm like, oh, gosh, it's Bible study. And she gets on her knees, and she begs me to go to Bible study just one time. And she said, if you do this for me, I'll never ask you to do anything else. And so I went to Bible study that
That's
one time.
That's a good
time.
Deal, right?
That's a good one, deal.
One
time.
You do this, I won't go ever again. You'll never ask me to do
it. Yeah.
All right,
so I tell people, long story short, I went to Bible study one time and came back a minister. And,
amen. So, amen. Well, yeah. We're definitely going to hear a little bit more from you. Now we also want to, right before our break, we want to hear a little bit more also from Joe and Melissa, who jokingly were saying you've been together since you were 12, but that's actually true.
This is true. Melissa and I met, obviously, at 12 years old in school. We were in school in the Bronx, and I saw this new girl, and turned out that was Melissa. And I pretended to bump into her on the way home, but really, I'd planned it the whole time. So from the first day that we met, I walk her home, and we kind of never stopped doing that. And I got about the age of 19, I became a disciple. I studied the Bible and converted to Christianity. And I remember just being so excited. I said, I gotta tell Melissa about this. Now I was in Florida, had to get away from New York for a little while, and I shared a scripture with her. She didn't seem extremely interested, but I decided to share it anyway. It was about being friendly to strangers. You never know, you might be entertaining an angel, is how the scripture went. And as a result of that scripture, she ended up being nice to someone at work, and they turned out to be a disciple. She studied the Bible and was also converted. And 2 years later, we got married, and we have not looked back since.
Wow, and who officiated your wedding?
some guy, Marcos Mercado.
Oh, you were in our wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was in the wedding.
You were
that's
in
it.
The wedding.
Yeah, I remember because it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We always joke with them saying that every day would be Valentine's Day. That was one of their vows that they had. And so
very
when they would
sweet.
Argue, we would say, hey, every day is Valentine's Day. Amazing, amazing. And I know you guys both have some great ups and down stories to share, and we're looking forward to hearing from so many of you as you call in and get to connect with our special guests here, or even if you just have a question or something you want to share with us, we absolutely want to hear from you.
And that number is 855-454-5905. So we're going to hear from someone from the Philadelphia area in a matter of minutes, and we would love to hear from you, but don't you dare touch that dial. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return right after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are talking about marriage miracles today. We're opening the phone lines for you to call in with a comment or a question, testimony, or a concern. 855-454-5905. Going right to the phones, we have Miss H calling in from the Philadelphia area on line one. Miss H, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello, Miss H. Miss H, it sounds like you're in the car.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Miss H. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. You're speaking with Marcos Mercado. And I believe you told our producer that you're in a situation where you're trying to decide to go or to stay with your
husband.
Yes, do you hear us, Miss H?
Hello.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess we have a bad connection. Okay, hopefully Miss H can call us back and we can connect. Sounds like she has a situation. She's trying to figure out whether to go or stay. But don't forget, if you're trying to reach us, give us a call.
The number is 855-454-5905.
All right. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you've tried to decide whether to go or stay? Now, I got to believe that at some point, right, in all those years, you've struggled to that point where you're wondering, could we make this work? I don't know. Maybe not. But you tell me.
For us, we fortunately, we've not had that challenge. But I do know that bitterness can take root in the heart.
Mm.
And, you know, it really comes down to deciding the scripture that we kind of build our marriage on. Where Jesus says, you know, Paul says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have a healthy working relationship, it's got to be done through Christ. And so for me to hurt Cassandra, I have to hurt Christ first.
So you hurt Christ a lot, don't you?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I don't.
Oh.
and the reason is because I value that relationship.
Amen.
I value the fellowship that I have with Christ. And because of that, Cassandra benefits and vice versa. So she loves Christ. And I think when you have the proper perspective, it helps. But there are other things that can go wrong. You know, everybody have their different challenges. So our situation, it could be, you know, not as challenging as someone else. So I'm not saying that that's the remedy.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you do have to take a break, and you should make that move.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment here. I believe we have another caller online, too.
Let's check and see if we are able to get back to Miss H. She is on the line.
Oh, okay,
so Miss H from Philadelphia, good morning. You're back on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're so glad you were able to get with us. Can you hear us? Hello.
Miss H, you hear us?
Good morning.
Okay, for whatever reason, Miss H cannot hear us.
I don't know why it doesn't. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. I don't know why it keeps going out because I'm okay.
Are you calling from a cell phone? Do you have a reception?
Yes, I'm calling from the cell phone.
Okay, well, it sounds like now we have you connected there. So you were mentioning to our producer that you're trying to decide whether to go or stay in your relationship. What's going on?
We've been together for 22 years. We've been married for 7. However, throughout those 22 years, there's been every other year or every year this abuse with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And when the drugs come into play, of course, it starts negativity all the way around, because when he goes out and does these drugs, he is gone for 4 or 5 days, one time 5 weeks, and he comes back with no possession, no watch, no ring, no car. And I believe that if you, and he knows the Bible, but he can quote a scripture at the drop of a dime, but he doesn't practice it.
Absolutely.
And I think now that what's happening with me is I'm finally catching on to it's all a game. He's just transparent to me.
Yeah, we got you.
And once I started reacting to what I know, then that starts the abuse. The abuse being physical.
Wow. Now, a quick question for you, Miss Hayes. Let's start off with this. Are you in a dangerous situation right now, or are you presently safe with him?
No, it's not. It can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. I guess if I say the wrong thing or whatever, then the potential is there to become physical.
Okay.
There's been.
Yeah, that's not a way to live, and I'm sure you know that. So I think it's an excellent question that you're asking, whether to go and stay. And actually, Joe Fuseli actually works, and for many years has worked with people with addictions, chemical addictions, drug abuse. I have a few quick questions for you, and then I want to hear some input that Joe Fuseli here might have to share. What drug, what drugs is he on that you know of?
Supposedly crack.
Yeah, so it's a crack addiction, and he goes on these binges. And right now, is he with you, like currently at the home? He's back. And when he comes back, does he admit to what is going on, or does he just try to pretend that everything is fine?
He doesn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I know I did wrong. I know what I did was wrong, and I don't want to talk about that right now. But if you go to talk about it later on. He's very upset. He gets angry with me, and there's nothing in the street but one or three things. So what is it? He blames it on me, like the pressure I put on him. That's why he does it. So I don't buy it.
Okay. I want to hear something that Joe has to say, and I also have a scripture for you that I'm gonna share with you in just a moment, Joe.
Yes, I have at least 10 years of working with the chemically dependent. So, and also as a former drug user myself, I can totally relate to your husband's situation. I could give you some advice here. When it reaches this point where men are going out on binges and they're getting angry, and it sounds like there's some manipulation there. He's using his anger as a way not to really deal with his problem and passing it off on you. In the recovery world, we call that blame shifting. But if I could give you a quick piece of advice, this may be a good time for you to maybe get some friends together and have what we call an intervention. And it's not that difficult a thing to do, but at the bottom line, it's about bringing this to the forefront, having people talk to your husband and say, listen, we know what's going on, and unless some very specific things change, we're going to have to take specific actions. So maybe his best friend, the advice would be, look, if you don't stop, or at least if you don't get yourself into some kind of recovery program, then you and I can no longer, and you set the terms of this agreement. Or as a wife, if you don't stop, I might have to move out and separate for a while. While I don't believe in divorce in such a case, a separation may be in order. But at the end of the day, if you don't help people to see that there will be real consequences to their continued drug use, then chances are they'll continue to use. If they don't start to feel pain, then there's no real incentive for them to get ahead and get off.
And
okay,
Ms. H,
that's been done before. So.
Okay. Well, Ms. H, two things. Number one, I am concerned about your safety because you're in a position where if you bring it up or you push a little too far, he gets physical. And you definitely don't want to be in that situation. So I would say the number one thing is you're wondering if you should go and stay. I would say at least for now until he shows signs of change, you're not even safe, to be honest with you. And then the second thing is there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 7 where Paul is talking about the difference between godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. From what you're sharing, your husband absolutely has worldly sorrow, which the Bible says leads to death. And the reason I say that is because he's not taking responsibility. And the moment you call him on it, his answer right away is very flippant. He puts it on you. See, if he were really sorry and is ready to change, he would be willing to do whatever it takes to get help. He would be like, honey, I'm sorry. I'm out of control. I need help. And if he's not at that place, I'll be honest with you. Just like Joe said, I'm not saying that you necessarily divorce him, but you got to have your boundaries and saying, listen, we can't have a marriage until you get yourself together, because his drug abuse is destroying your relationship.
Yes.
And so you have to at some point, and look, he can get upset or whatever. You can tell him to call me. Your safety is number one. And number two is he's never going to change until he sees consequences. And so because he doesn't have that godly sorrow and is willing to do whatever it takes, you can't have that relationship. It's never going to work. He's never going to stop, because he's going to go back and always find a reason to get high again.
That's right.
It could be any, it could even be a good thing. It's like, oh, it's my birthday, I'm going to celebrate. Or you didn't do this right and you got me upset, so I'm going to leave and I'm going to go get high again. And it's a lose-lose situation. So do you go, do you stay? I'd say, number one, get out of that situation. And I'm not saying you need to be the one to move out. Maybe you need to let him know he can't come back into the home after one of these binges.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay.
Well,
and that's been challenged, threatened, name it.
Okay,
name
so it's time it. To act so, then. So it's the challenge, the threat, and it's time to really do what you know you should do. That's what it teaches in the book of James. If you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it is sin for you. So you got to do what's right. You know what to do.
Okay.
All right, Ms. H., we thank you so much for calling. We're praying that you're strong enough and courageous enough to do what you know needs to be done.
Okay. I thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Right. Take
God
care.
Bless.
Have a blessed one.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls on our topic today, marriage miracles. If you have a miracle or you're looking for one, you can reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We have an anonymous caller from Charlotte on line 5. Good morning, caller. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well. I'm surprised Tiffany didn't say we're breathing on schedule, but we are. We're breathing on schedule. That's one of her favorite phrases there. So you're calling us, and I believe you have mentioned to our producer right before you got on the air that you had to leave your marriage.
Yeah, right. So because you were speaking about ages this morning, meeting when your co-hosts were 12 and 14, I met my recent ex-husband at 14.
Wow.
We were in ROTC in high school together.
Wow.
And I was in the Army. He was in the Navy, so we went to boot camp. And I seen him over there in the corner. He was quiet. And I was also quiet. So I, ushered over there, and I spoke, and he spoke, and we stayed pen pals until senior high school, 2003.
Okay.
We then stayed Facebook friends, you know, MySpace friends, things of that nature, until 2009. We just so happened to both be single, and we thought, hey, why don't we try it? We've been friends for so long. Why don't we, you know, try this relationship thing? So 2009, 2010, we learned each other, and I found out that he was not the same person that I had met, you know, 10 years ago. So we decided to split.
Quick question. Pause for a moment. When he wasn't the same person, what do you mean? Was he being unfaithful? Did he have a secret life? What's going on?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. So the letters that I received from him from 14 until about 18, 19, 20, love letters. You know, you're the most beautiful person I've ever met. Here's my marriage vows. If I had to say them to you, this is what I would say. You know, I can't wait to have children with you. I can't wait to marry you. You know, it was very sweet. I remember one time, and I'll be real brief, one time my birthday is in August. We're 3 days apart, me and him, and he just so happened to time it correctly because he lived in another state that I received a present on my birthday, regular mail, and it just really touched my heart. And all of these things I kept. I'm really good at keeping things. I have all the letters that we've ever wrote. I'm touching 30 now, and I still have these letters. And so moving forward, 2011, I, you know, finished college. He finished whatever he was doing. 2012, we got back together because he promised that he had changed and he wasn't going to be the cold-hearted person that he had been because of his military. It had it had hardened his heart.
Okay.
And I was still the same old person. I'm the same person from 14, but his heart was hardened. I was trying to pray him through it, but he didn't want.
Okay. Really quickly, because I know we're pressed for time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he changed. He stopped mm-hmm. being that caring, expressive right. man to this right. cold-hearted, kind of distant person, right? And that,
right.
that just devastated you because you longed and you fell in love
right.
with that, the first person, the first
right.
warm-hearted, expressive guy. And
right.
then did you actually marry each other?
We did. We married because we got pregnant, and both from Christian backgrounds, and I said, you know, I really don't feel comfortable being a Christian and living with you and being pregnant.
Okay.
And we're about to bring a third person into the world, and I would like to bring him under the covenant of marriage. So we went downtown. It was no wedding. It was no bachelor party. It was no ring. It was
wow.
nothing. It was just our best friends, and we went downtown, and we got married.
Okay.
I had my son that summer, 2012, that summer, and he asked me to leave three, 4 months afterwards.
Okay. Now, what is his complaint? I'm hearing you, what happened to him, but why did
so
he ask you to
yeah,
leave?
Yeah, his complaint is that I'm too affectionate. I'm nagging. I'm controlling. When I had my son, you know, when a woman has a child, there are certain ways that she'd like for a child to be, certain ways to clean them, you know, make sure you don't do this, don't do that. It was, to me, it was normal things. To him, it was nagging. And
okay.
I believe it was nagging because the purpose had been now completed. He had his son, and that was all that he wanted.
Okay. Okay, well, you're ready for this because you called us, right?
I am. I'm
all right. Chances are you were nagging. Okay,
mm-hmm.
chances are, and for him, you absolutely were, because I don't think he would
mm-hmm.
make that up. Now, here's the reality. You sound like someone who's very good at keeping records. So you meaning that you remember things from when you were 14 years old, you've kept
mm-hmm.
all this. That's amazing, and that's awesome. But that's also very dangerous, because the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 that love keeps no records of wrongs. So
right.
not only would you keep the record of the good, but it's very possible that you keep an accurate record of the bad.
I do.
And so that begins to get you bitter, resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're bitter and resentful, whether you intentionally mean to or not, you're going to treat someone with what's on your heart. You know, that's just how it is. If you miss someone, you love them. As soon as you see them, you embrace them. You can't wait to see them. If you're bitter, the moment you see that person, something that comes out of your mouth is going to be bitter.
That's right.
And so I tell you this. Are you familiar with the book Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I'll go ahead.
It's a great book. And the reason I'm sharing with it is I'm not trying to plug or promote his book, but he has something really interesting to say. He bases it out of Ephesians chapter 5, and he talks about the fact that God gives every married couple a challenge for the wife to love, to respect the husband, and for the husband to love his wife. It that is in those exact, you know, kind of specifics, right, where it doesn't say that the wife should love her husband but respect him, because that's so important for a man, and that the husband has to love his wife as Christ loves the church, which is a huge high calling. Well, here's the challenge. He says that there's such a thing, and he calls it the crazy cycle. And what happens in the crazy cycle is you have a woman who feels really hurt, and she feels unloved, kind of how you feel. And so she stops giving respect to her husband because she feels like he's not worthy of respect. It's hard for her to respect him because he's so unloving. And so then he comes back and says, well, how can I be loving to my wife when she's so disrespectful? And then it goes on and on and on and on. And it's a crazy cycle. So how do you break that cycle? Well, one of you, in this case, we're talking to you, has to make a conscious decision that whether your husband is loving or not, you will still respect him, because God expects you to respect him. Not because your husband deserves the respect, but because God is saying, listen, you're his wife. You must respect your husband. And so no matter what he does or doesn't do, you can't allow yourself to lose respect. And I can tell you one thing from hearing you, and I can be honest with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't respect your husband.
I told him that a few weeks after we had our son. I told him, and he said, why don't you respect me? And I said, because you do not go to church. And you came from a family that goes to church every day but
mm-hmm.
Monday. And that's what I loved about you. And you don't go to church at all. And how can I follow you and respect you, and you don't even follow God?
Okay. But you know what?
That was my excuse.
All right. And that's your excuse. And I'm glad you're owning that.
Mm-hmm.
See, in Ephesians 5, it doesn't say wives respect your husbands if they go to church.
Right.
Or wives respect your husband if they deserve, you know. Yeah. You still have to respect them. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's going to be easy, but you can't. And the fact that you even told him this, it's not like he didn't know, right? But you told him this. So now that crushes a man. Now he's feeling like that's probably why he asked you to leave. Because
that was really when I said that, and I didn't think he actually heard me. Mm. Any time we had an argument, discussion, anything, he said, I don't even know why you care because you don't respect me. And I'm like, are you really still holding on to that?
Yes. And here's the thing. Can you get to the point where you can respect your husband? Because I tell you, I guarantee you this. I don't know what he's doing and not doing, but that man, that young boy, is still in there. And what you can do is you can inspire him to be that. See, I think the mistake that a lot of women make is they expect their husbands to change and they just demand it. Instead of encouraging it. Something my wife said, it is really deep. She says the times that she's seen me grow and change the most is the times that she doesn't even say anything. She just gets on her knees and asks God, and it never ceases to amaze her how those prayers get answered. And so she's like, my husband's just not as thoughtful, or he's not sensitive the way I want to. But instead of telling me, she tells God. And then all of a sudden I do something really thoughtful or really, you know, something encouraging. And she's like, wow. God heard me. And then I'm like, what? You didn't tell me. Why do you? But it's just good for her heart. And I could tell you this much. It sounds to me that you need to, number one, apologize to your husband for the lack of respect. Now, that doesn't mean you take back what you said. He should go to church. He should be more spiritual. But instead of telling him or demanding it, try just loving him regardless. Because that's how God loves us, right? Can you imagine if God only loved us when we went to church?
You know what I'm going to do, because we have separated so much now that there's not a bridge to go back. Mm. What I have stated is that I'm going to pray for his next wife, and I'm going to pray for him to be the husband he's supposed.
Are you divorced?
We are legally separated on the way to divorce.
Okay, well, you know you're not divorced until you're actually divorced.
Yeah, I know.
And I've known of situations so miraculous. We're talking about marriage miracles. I've known couples that were trying to get divorced and the divorce papers got lost and they still ended up together because God worked it out. So you can pray for his other wife and it sounds like you've hardened your heart, but you never know. God might want you to stay together. So I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to pray that God's will be done. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to do the same. Pray for God's will, not for his next wife. If that's God's will and it's time to move on, then amen. Then what do you do? But pray for the will of God, not your will. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Great.
Take care. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We have, Michelle calling in from Philadelphia on line 3. Michelle, good morning. Good. You're live on the air.
Good morning to you also. I am so excited. Can I first thank you guys so much for the program? I know people that don't believe in counseling, but in secret, they will turn on your program and get help. So God bless you for that.
Thank you.
I just briefly wanted to tell you that I have a marriage miracle. I've been married this July 22 years. I would say 16 years into the marriage, my husband backslid. Mm. Like the previous caller,
sure, I was
going to
say,
not
perfect.
Not knowing my word, I thought when he backslid, I was out of it.
Mm.
Okay, he's not serving God, I'm out of here. Emotionally and mentally, not physically, because we had a child.
So let me ask you this, Michelle. So did you stumble upon 1 Corinthians 7?
Yes.
Ah, okay, good. So share. I want to hear this now. So you stumbled on 1 Corinthians 7, and you're like, oh, why did God put that there?
Yes, I was like, this is not fair. He's covering every base.
Right? You're like, that's not a way out. You still have, and I love what you're saying because you were listening to the show as the previous caller. Like, that's not a reason for you.
No, you have
every opportunity to show your husband God. If he backslid, he turned his back on God, you're his best opportunity to see God again. So I can't wait to hear the rest. Go ahead, share.
So that's exactly what I had to painfully learn. Mm. And it started by me seeking God because of my pain. And then right after that, I lost my corporate job. And I said, oh, and because before, you know, having my own finances, business travel, all of that, I just thought I was that and a bowl of jock. You know what I mean?
You didn't need anybody. You didn't need your husband.
It was a lot, just what the other caller said, because I could handle my own, because I'm a Christian, I was not respecting my husband. I didn't realize it, but I guess he felt it.
Mm. Of course.
So I started seeking the face of God because of my pain. We also were raising a very godly teenager. This young lady, my daughter Janae, went after God on her own. Come to find out in our miracle story, I have parishioners and people at our church that told me as a little child, she would constantly go to the altar and say, God, I want my family to be together.
Wow. See, and God wouldn't ignore those prayers, right? So
oh,
he started working.
Oh, my goodness. I'm finding that out today. And so what happened was her and I together, mommy, daughter, we went to church. We participated in different ministries. And God began to show me myself. As he began to show me myself, I didn't get angry because, like the previous caller, I love God. So I wanted to please him. So when he starts to show you that you're part of the problem and you seek his face, all of a sudden his actions weren't magnified to me. The God that I serve was magnified and not our problems. And so meantime, he started changing, I would say, it's about 4 years ago. But I tell you, I needed strength. The Lord knew I needed strength. And
of course.
He had someone give me a prophetic word.
Okay.
And the prophetic word was, don't leave. You've got change coming. It was Prophetess Janet Floyd. She's coming back to Philadelphia.
So she told you, don't leave.
Oh, my
change
goodness.
Was
and
coming.
The whole church was blown away because I never let it out.
Mm,
as a
okay.
matter of fact, when she gave me the word, there was a spirit of doubt that came across the congregation. But I had already planted this in my heart.
Okay.
And this is another thing I want to quickly say.
Yeah, Michelle, I was going to say, if you can get to that part where your husband, the victory, because we're running out of time
yes,
and
yes.
we got other callers.
The victory is, once I got the word, I held it, I hung in there. Okay, so got the word from her, and one Sunday, our pastor preached Heaven or Hell. I was in the choir loft. My daughter was in the choir loft. He started walking towards the altar. The whole church, like friends, started standing up. He rededicated his life to the Lord. We have celebrated with our daughter a happy marriage for the last 4 years.
Amen.
We just put her in college, and now we're happy nesters trying to figure out how to start our new life over all over again.
Man, that's so inspiring. Mm-hmm. I want to ask the women here on our panel, Melissa and Cassandra, to chime in because I think that respect issue is so big. And I appreciate, Michelle, what you're sharing so much because it wasn't easy. It was a hard pill to swallow. And I think, you know, sometimes as men, it's easy for us to say, well, of course you should respect me. But when we do things that are not worthy of respect, you know, how do you do it? You know, to the women who are here, how do you respect your husbands even though when you see their shortcomings?
I think it goes back to my love for God. Because when I focus on, it's all about between me and God.
Mm.
I can look at God and want to please him. Even though at the time I don't want to please my husband because he's not pleasing me.
What?
Okay. But when I think about this is between me and God. God, you need to give me strength. And it goes back to that scripture, Philippians 4:13 is a scripture I learned from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
Absolutely.
And I just hold on to that and let God get me through it. But it's, I'm on my knees praying and God gets me through
and
it.
And that sounds like the common denominator, right? You have to pray because it's not natural. Your natural reaction is to not respect. And what about you, Melissa?
Right. I know for me, early on in our marriage, that was a big issue. The first few years, every argument was about, you're not respecting me. And in my mind, I thought, yes, I was. And, you know, for a long time, I just felt like, okay, well, I thought I was respecting you. You don't feel respected. Define your what's your definition of respect?
And I'm sure Joe would have said, you were like, shut up. I do respect you. You're like, what are you talking about?
It was bad. It was bad, it was really bad. But thank God we've grown and, you know, now it's amazing. But we've had to go through those bumps and, you know, persevere in our marriage. Mm. But, yeah, that was the main thing. You know, I just had to sit down and say, okay, I need you to tell me when it's disrespect because I just didn't know. And, you know, the heart is deceitful, right? So part of me felt like, okay, well, this I didn't know, but that I did know, but I need you to just be completely honest, which was good. It was a good exercise early in our marriage. I just said, okay, that's disrespectful. All right, I won't do that again. And really kind of made a conscientious effort to say, okay, this is what rubs him the wrong way. I'm going to work on this. And, you know, please point it out when I do it again. Right, but right. It's not easy, you know. I mean, it's true. The main thing for women, we need to feel loved. And it's the same thing for men. It's the respect. And,
absolutely.
You know, when we're not feeling loved, it's the same way they feel when they're not feeling respected. So absolutely. We have to just keep that in mind.
Amen, amen. And, you know, Melissa, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate you sharing about your daughter and her faith and her prayers. And then the fact that you knew this wasn't easy, but it sounds like you made a conscious decision to love your husband in spite of whatever was going on in his life, although he wasn't committed to God,
right.
Although he wasn't doing the right thing. And it didn't sound like, you didn't say this, but to me it didn't sound like you started preaching to your husband and telling him what he needed to do. You just started loving him and loving God, and that worked.
Wow.
So thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. We really appreciate you calling in today.
And the Lord also told me into the marriage that the warfare we experienced wasn't about us. That Satan was after her testimony, and she has been an inspiration to the youth of our church. But the enemy was after her testimony.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's true, right? Ephesians 6, right? It's not a flesh and blood battle. All right, thank you so much, Michelle. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, well, we have another Michelle.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. This time from North Carolina on line 2. Michelle, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to each of you.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Much.
We appreciate it. And it sounds like you have a very interesting story to share with us this morning.
I do. It's more of a, for me, it's more of a testimony.
Okay.
I'm married to my husband for 10 years prior to him being federally incarcerated. Once he found out that he was actually an interest of the court or of the government, I came home from work one evening. I was working a third shift, and he jumped on me and broke my nose.
Whoa.
In that time frame, he had waited there for the police, thinking that I was going to call the police. Now, that was the very first time I understood what it was to be a battered woman.
Wow.
And that was, when I say that, I say that to say when I went to the hospital, I lied about what happened to me. So when I came.
So you were in denial about this?
Well, not in denial. I knew what happened. But I also knew that he was waiting, awaiting sentence.
Oh, got you.
So if I had, this would have been a felony assault, which in the federal, they go by points.
Mm.
He was already looking at 35 years to life.
Wow.
So I did not want to, I thought more of his situation than I did my own. In the meantime, he went to court. I was, my relationship with God was a lot stronger than it is now, but I'm getting back.
Amen, amen. Michelle, I'm sorry to hold you, but I know you're going to share a little bit more of what he disclosed to you while he was incarcerated, but we have to take a brief break, so we don't want you to go anywhere. We want to hear from you, so we can't wait to hear a little bit more about what happened once he got incarcerated and reveal some things to you. So for everyone who's listening, don't you dare go anywhere or touch that dial.
All right, Michelle, you hold on the line, and if you would like to be a part of this conversation today, all you have to do is dial us at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.